Like tonight to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I'd like to read the first verse. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. This fourth chapter is the commencement of the practical part of the book of Ephesians. The remaining chapters, this chapter and the remaining chapters, contain various exhortations. Paul begins by stating the basis of what he was about to say. He says, I therefore. Therefore goes back, of course, to chapters 1 through 3, where he talked about salvation, by grace, and now he's going to give us the practical side of that. He also states his present circumstances. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. The book of Ephesians, of course, was written while Paul was confined to prison for the cause of Christ. He says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. That is, Paul looked at his imprisonment as willed and ordered by the Lord himself. Paul then goes on to state his plea. He says, I beseech you. The word beseech means to urgently beg and plead. He is saying, I beg of you, please, is what he's saying here, that you walk, that is, live, worthy, that is, becoming of, suitable to, in a manner worthy of the vocation. And the word vocation here simply means calling, of the calling wherewith, by the means which, you're called. So Paul is pleading with them and us to live in a way that is in harmony with God's call, in harmony with the holy calling of God. It is an appeal to worthy living, living worthy of that call. Detailed applications of that principle is stated in the remaining chapters. So we want to speak tonight on the subject of our main vocation, taking the thought from walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. This is a foundational truth. Foundational truths are of the utmost importance. That's what the devil attacks, is the foundation. That's true doctrinally. We have to understand the foundational truths. You understand the foundational truths doctrinally, everything falls in place. Everything makes sense. It's also true the practical side. There are foundations. And once we get a hold of those foundations, everything else just follows suit. And this is a foundation. That is, what is our main vocation? So we want to look at that this evening. First of all, let's consider the calling of a child of God, because we see here we're to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. God's people, of course, are partakers of a calling. We read in Hebrews 3 and verse 1 that we are partakers of the heavenly calling. To be a partaker means that we have taken part in. So we have taken part in a heavenly calling. We have experienced a heavenly calling. And we have taken part in this, experienced it, and everyone who has been saved has experienced this calling, this heavenly calling. Everyone who has been saved has partaken of this heavenly calling. Everyone. Every one of us has partake, every one of us that are saved has taken part in this call from heaven. It is referred to in many different ways in the Word of God. The saved are partakers of this heavenly calling, which simply means that we are partakers of all the blessings and all the things that are included in that heavenly calling, and they are innumerable. We are partakers of the promises that are in Christ. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6 that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. So we are partakers of the promises that are in Christ. We are partakers of an inheritance in Colossians 1 and verse 12. We are partakers of the benefit, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 2. We are partakers of Christ, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. Hebrews 6, verse 4 tells us we are partakers of the Holy Spirit. We are partakers of Christ's sufferings, 1 Peter 4 and verse 13. And we are partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. So we are partakers of a heavenly calling. That in mind, we're partakers of everything that is included in that heavenly calling. Now, the characteristics of this calling, of which all the saved are partakers, first of all, it's an inward call. It is an inward and effectual call. It is a call that comes to the lost sinner while we were in a state of bondage, while we were in spiritual darkness, while we were in spiritual ignorance, while we were in a state of spiritual impotency and a state of spiritual damnation. That's when the call came. And it was a call that overpowered us, that overpowered the heart and drew the will to embrace Jesus Christ. One of the best examples of this call is in Acts 9, verses 3 through 6. When the Lord called Saul on his way to Damascus. A wonderful example of the inward and effectual call of the Spirit of God. And we can all that have been saved go back to that day when we became partakers of an inward and effectual call. And if you've ever experienced that call, you never forget it. You never get over it. It affects your life. It affects the way you think. It affects the way you live. It affects everything about you. So it is an inward and effectual call. It is a holy call. We read in 2 Timothy 1 in verse 9, who hath called us with a holy calling. God called us from our sins. And in so doing, He set us apart. He set us apart to Himself. This is a holy call. That is, He took that which was common, that which was for common use, and He set it apart for holy uses. And the day that God called us, it was a holy calling. And we were common, and we were being used just like all other lost people were being used. But the day God called us, the holy calling, He set us apart. We became a holy vessel for holy uses. And we must never, ever forget that. We read in Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7, the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. The day God called us, He put a difference between us and everyone and all lost individuals. So it is a call that makes a difference. Makes a difference in our lives. We see also it is a high calling. Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. It is a call to do a work too high for you and I to do in and of ourselves. It is a calling higher than any other calling. There is no higher calling. There is no greater calling than when God calls us to be saved and saves our soul. There is no higher calling. There is no greater calling It is a call to die to sin. It is a call to be crucified to the world. It is a call to live by faith and to serve God and to live in fellowship with God. The day the Lord saved us, He called us to do all of those things. It was a high calling, a great calling. It is a glorious calling. We see in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, who hath called us unto His eternal glory. It is a call to the enjoyment of God. The day the Lord called us, the day the Lord saved us, He called us to enjoy the Lord, to enjoy the salvation that He gave us. It's an unchangeable calling. It's a calling that is never reversed. We read in Romans 11 and verse 29 that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God has never regretted effectually calling your soul. Never. Oh, we don't live like we ought to. God doesn't change His mind. It's an unchangeable calling. It's a calling that's founded upon His purposes. We read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 that they're called according to His purpose. God called us according to purpose. He didn't mean to call somebody else and accidentally call us. It's not a call that we simply overheard. It was a call of purpose. And God's purposes, of course, are immutable. Therefore, His call is as well. It's a gracious calling. It's all of grace. There's no reason in any one of us that God should call us. We had absolutely nothing to offer to God. We had absolutely nothing to offer to the service of God. There's a call simply resulting from the grace of God. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through verse 29. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Anytime you start feeling proud, it'd be good to read these verses. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And the reason for this is that no flesh should glory in His presence. If we're saved, we've been called. And we have nothing in and of ourselves to glory in. It's all by the grace of God. So this call and everything included in this call is by grace. It's all by the grace of God. But that brings us to walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we make ourselves deserving of the call, because we can never do that. You and I will never be deserving of what God has done for us. You and I will never be deserving of the fact that one day God called us effectually. So it doesn't mean that we walk in a way to make ourselves worthy. That's not what it means. But there must be a realization that this call that we have received that are saved, I'm not talking about a call to preach. I'm talking about a call to salvation. It's a call that every saved person has experienced. And there must be a realization that this call takes precedence over all other callings. And that's foundational. This is our main calling. This is our main calling. And that call involves serving the Lord. This is our main calling. It's a heavenly calling. We've already seen that. And the fact that it is a heavenly calling must take precedence over any earthly calling. It's heavenly. Heavenly is always takes precedence over earthly. And this heavenly calling takes precedence over all earthly calling. We've seen that it is an effectual calling. It is a calling that overpowered our heart and drew us to the Lord. And as such, it should continue to overpower us. It should continue to draw us closer to the Lord. We've seen that it is a holy calling. It's a call that has set us apart for God. A call that has made an inward difference. A call that has made an outward difference. And a call that has made an eternal difference. It's a holy calling. We're no longer the same as we were. We're no longer the same person before the Lord called us. We've been changed. Certainly such a call takes precedence over all other calls. Over all other callings. I am afraid that many of God's people have forgotten their main calling. They have forgotten the main calling. It is the realization of our main calling that helps us keep our priorities in order. You forget your main calling, and your priorities will get out of whack. And you will not serve God like you ought to. It is remembering our main calling that helps us to keep our priorities in order. And if this is our main calling, then everything else is to center around our main calling. Your occupation is not your main calling. This inward, effectual call is your main calling. Your life is not the center around your occupation. Everything is the center around your main calling. And that's this call. Your main calling is not school. This inward, effectual calling is your main calling. Your main calling is not friends and family. This is your main calling. This is the one that takes precedence over all others. But it's very apparent that many have forgotten their main calling. You see, it's the realization of our main calling that gives us a foundation on which to base our decisions. If this is our main calling, then every decision I make must be around this calling. You make a decision and you push us to the side, your main calling, you have forgotten that that's your main calling. This is a calling that gives me a basis to make every decision that I have to make, that you have to make. It gives us a foundation or a base on which to allocate our time. It's our main calling. It should take the most of our time. It's our main calling. It gives us a base or foundation on which to use our resources. It's our main calling. I don't believe there's a whole lot of people who believe that. This is our main calling. It is the realization of our main calling that helps us keep everything in perspective. Our main calling. You forget your main calling, you lose your perspective. You forget what life is all about. It is the realization of our main calling that enables us to loosen our grip of the things of the world and yield to Christ. You know why folks hang on to the world so tight? Because they don't realize their main calling. This world's not my main calling. The things of this world are not our main calling. If God gives us things of this world, we ought to thank Him. That's a blessing from God, but we ought to hold it with a loose hand, being willing to let go. Anytime God says let go. That includes our loved ones. That includes material things. We have to be willing to let go. Because this is our main calling. It is realization of our main calling that prevents us from assigning a false value to the things of this world. How many of God's people, we know the world does it, but how many of God's people have assigned a false value to things of this world? They assign a false value to their jobs. They assign a false value to the things they own. They value these things too highly. But it's keeping in mind our main calling that enables us to properly value things. Anytime you put the material above the spiritual, you have misvalued, you have improperly valued the material. I don't care what it is. You have improperly valued, you have placed a false value upon something. Not enough value in the Lord. It is the realization of our main calling that helps us to concentrate our effort and our energy and what's important. Why is it today, and it becomes more and more so every day we live? Because of the society we live in. God's people become busier every day. Something's got to give. And what usually goes is service to God. That's what's usually pushed to the side. Why is that? Well, I've got to be busy. No, you don't. You've forgotten your main calling. You have forgotten your main calling. Other things have become your main calling. This is our main calling. To serve the Lord. That's why we're here. To serve God. Come eternity, it's not going to matter how many hours you work. And it's not going to matter how much money you made. But how you serve the Lord is going to matter. We have to remember our main calling and direct our efforts and energies to that area. Our main calling determines where I live. That's what determines where I live. Economy does not determine where I live. It shouldn't determine where you live. Our main calling determines where we live. Our main calling determines how we live. Our main calling, as we've already said, determines the decisions that we make and the choices that we make. The reason that many make decisions that take them away from the Lord's house for long periods of time and sometimes permanently is because they have forgotten their main calling. You will never convince me that God is going to lead you somewhere where you cannot go to the house of God. You're never going to convince me of that. Because I believe Scripture teaches just the opposite. I don't care what the circumstances are. This is your main calling. And it determines where I live, how I live. The truth is, there is a church to which I belong. I'm not saying that the Lord may never lead you somewhere else. That's not what I'm saying. But there is a church to which I belong. And I am not to do anything that would make my belonging less. If I do, I have forgotten my main calling. The reason people make career choices. There are careers that you can choose that will keep you from serving God like you ought to. And the reason God's people make those choices is because they've forgotten their main calling. We had a young man in Streamwood at one time, wanted to be a policeman. Wanted to be a policeman all his life. It was getting time to go to school. And I just went and talked to him and I said, "Have you considered that being a policeman is going to probably take you out of the Lord's house on Sundays? Have you thought about that? Do you believe that's what God would have you to do?" He said, "Brother Dan, I never thought of that." And he came back about a week later and he said, "I'm not going to do it." His parents were absolutely furious with me. You see, because his parents didn't realize their main calling. He's still serving the Lord today. So when you're young people, when you're contemplating and choosing a career, remember your main vocation. Remember your main calling. Someone will say, "Well, we need policemen. Don't have to be God's people. We need a military. Doesn't have to be God's people. We need paramedics. It doesn't have to be God's people." This is what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Let the dead bury the dead." We have to remember our main calling. And oh, parents, they might be so proud their son or their daughter is entering a noble profession, but is it going to take them from the house of God? If it is, it ought to concern you. And you ought not encourage them in that direction. This is our main calling. And as long as we can remember that this is our main vocation, that will keep you from following a career and making a career your main vocation. A career should never be a child of God's main vocation. This calling. So remember your main vocation, because that will keep you from making a choice that will hinder you from fulfilling your main vocation. I believe, I thank God for policemen. I thank God for the military and all these other jobs that require to work Sunday. I thank God. But I believe there's jobs that are meant for the unsaved. I believe that. Because this is our main vocation. Reason some people go away to school and put themselves in a position where they can't go to church. And if they can't go to church, they can't serve God like they ought to. They have forgotten their main calling. There's all kinds of places to go to college. You don't have to leave the church. You don't have to. I have seen more young people ruined by college. More young people ruined by that and marrying the wrong person than any other two things. To my mind right now, I can only think of two out of about 15 that college didn't ruin. I'm not preaching against college education. I'm talking about going away to school. The reason people put family and friends ahead of the Lord is because they've forgotten their main vocation. My main vocation is not to go to family reunions on the Lord's Day. That's not what I'm here for. If my family wants to have a family reunion and they want me there, they're going to have it some other day than the Lord's Day. Plain and simple. That's not my vocation. Well, that's your family, that's your friends. Doesn't matter. That's not why I'm here. That's not why you're here. The reason people have difficulties in these things is because they have forgotten their main vocation. What you consider the main calling of your life will determine what you live for. And there are people today, I'm talking about God's people, who live for their jobs. That's what they live for. Because that is their main vocation. It's not why we're here. I realize everybody has to have a job. I realize that. But it's never to be our main vocation. When it comes time to retire, remember your main vocation. Don't move somewhere where you can't go to church. Well, I'm retired and I've dreamed all my life of living in a warm climate. Well, maybe you better have different dreams. Maybe your dreams need to change. And these people, they'll retire somewhere where there's no church, and a year later they're moaning and groaning and crying and wanting somebody to go there and start a church. And some church will send some missionary to start one. What they ought to tell them is get right with God and come back where you need to be. Because they've forgotten their main calling. And the truth is, a missionary goes out there and starts a church, something better pops up, and guess who's leaving? The ones who moved down there for the warmth. Because you see, church isn't their main calling. The Lord's not their main calling. We must be careful that we do not put stumbling blocks in the way of our main calling. This world tries every day to put stumbling blocks to our main calling. It makes no sense for you and I to help them. It makes no sense to put our own stumbling blocks for our main calling. We must not allow personal problems to distract us from our main calling. We get problems in our lives, and those problems take over our lives, and then we begin to base all of our decisions on those problems or what we think will solve those problems. We're headed down a dangerous road. Don't forget your main calling. You stick to your main calling, and you'll have less problems. You get away from your main calling, you'll increase your problems. Our main calling, that purpose, that calling is far greater, or should be, than our own personal fulfillment. This life's not about our personal fulfillment. It's about serving God. Our main calling should take precedence over peace of mind. I tell you what gives me peace of mind is knowing I'm in my main calling. But all people today are looking for peace of mind in areas that they're never going to find peace of mind. Our main calling takes precedence over our happiness. The truth is, if you want to be happy, you stick to your main calling. It takes precedence over career and dreams and ambition. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That's pretty plain. That's pretty plain. That's our duty. This is our calling. This is our main calling. Now, a calling implies responsibility. Any calling, whether it be an earthly calling, a heavenly calling, any calling, implies a responsibility. And our responsibility to this calling is that we would walk worthy. And the word walk defines the course of our life. And our course in life is determined, or the course you take in life is determined by what you consider your main vocation, what you're here for. We read in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12 that you would walk worthy of the Lord who hath called you unto his kingdom in glory. Our whole course of life is to conduct ourselves as children of God should. That's our calling. That is our calling. To act in accordance with the character of the one whose name we bear. And I believe that God desires that every aspect of our life be intricately woven around Jesus Christ. I believe that, every aspect. Our life is to be permeated by God. We're to love Him supremely, more than anything, more than anybody else. And that love is tested over and over and over again in this world. We have to love Him supremely. Love Him more than anybody else. More than anything else. I can do without, not that I want to. I can do without any human being in this world. But I cannot do without the Lord. Can't be done. I can survive. The Lord took any human being, I could survive. And so could you. May not want to. May not feel like it. But you cannot survive without Him. We're to love Him supremely. We're to obey Him wholeheartedly. This is our calling. We're to thank Him continually. We're called to do that. We use everything we have for Him. That's our calling. That's our calling. And that is to be so in every aspect of our lives. So he begins chapter 4 by saying, walk worthy of the vocation in which you were called. And if you read the rest of the book, in verses 2 through 7 of chapter 4. We're not going to read these verses to save time, but I'm just going to mention them. He talks about our church life. In our church life, we better remember our main calling. In verses 17 through 20, he speaks of our everyday public lives. We need to remember our main vocation in our everyday public life. Chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, he speaks of our married lives. Remember your main vocation in your married life. Don't forget it. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, talks about our family life. Talks about parents, talks about children. We must keep in mind our main vocation in our family lives. In verses 5 through 9 of chapter 6, he talks about our work lives, the places where we work. Whether we be the boss or whether we be the employee, doesn't matter. We're to keep our main vocation in mind. So all of this is telling us in every aspect and in every phase of our lives, would always keep our main calling, the main calling. Don't ever forget why you're here. I realize God has many reasons for us being here. I realize that. We'll be fathers, mothers, and all of that. I realize that. But it all centers around our main calling, which is to fear to God, keep His commandments, serve Him. That's our main calling. Everything else is secondary. Everything is the center around our main calling. And if you realize your main calling tonight and you begin everything around that main calling, you're going to be happier. You're going to be more spiritual. You're going to be stronger. You're going to have more faith. You're going to be closer to the Lord. You say, well, I just don't know how I'll make it. The Lord takes care of all those things. You see, the Lord challenges us in several places in the Scriptures to try Him, prove Him. The reason some folks just can't take that step of faith is they've never tried Him. They've never proved Him. And I'm telling you, the Lord proves Himself over and over and again. And it doesn't get more difficult to step out in faith when the Lord keeps proving Himself. It gets easier. It just gets a little easier because we just know. The Lord's going to take care of it. It's not just a trite phrase that we use, the Lord will supply your needs, the Lord will take care of it. That's the truth. We need to trust Him. Don't forget our main calling. I'm a father, I'm a husband, son, but my main calling is to God. That's my main calling. That doesn't mean I neglect all the others. It simply means that all the others center around my main calling. You ought to thank God that God's called you. I'll never get over it. That God called me, saved my soul. Then called me to preach. I can't even fathom. But I'm glad He did. I don't understand why, other than His grace, but I'm so glad that God called me one day. And I want to be faithful to that calling. Brother Larry, if you